Today on this subject, why did Jesus Christ die on the cross? Now let's look carefully at this subject. Let's study a little bit. Go to school and learn some things. If you listen very carefully, I believe you'll learn some vital facts today that you need to learn. Now, many of you know this, that the Old Testament scriptures, in the Old Testament scriptures, salvation is promised, and it's prophesied, and it's pictured, and it's typified. That is, in the Old Testament, the believer, those who believed in God and who believed in redemption, they built a tabernacle. They built a temple. They ordained priests, and they offered blood sacrifices. But none of these things could put away sin. Sins were not put away by these sacrifices and ceremonies and special days and priests. Sin was not put away by these things, but these people were saved by believing in the Christ, in the Redeemer who would come and fulfill all of these promises and prophecies and patterns by His life and His death. Do you see what I'm saying? In other words, none of these sacrifices, none of these priests, none of these ceremonies or laws or atonements could remove sin. None of these things could effectually remove sin, because Paul wrote in Hebrews, then they would have ceased to be offered if they could put away sin. The comers, the people who came by these sacrifices, would have no more conscience of sin. But he wrote this, it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. Now, do you understand that? Most people know that. The Old Testament ceremonies and ordinances and sacrifices and priesthood and laws couldn't put away sin. These people weren't saved by doing these things, by offering these sacrifices. But they were saved by looking to the coming Christ who would fulfill all of these sacrifices. And these special days and sacrifices and high priest and so forth stood in the place of Christ till He should come. You see that? In other words, in the Old Testament, throughout the Old Testament, three things, now listen to this carefully, three things were vital to acceptance before God and atonement for sin. Three things were vital. First of all, there was a tabernacle. There was a tabernacle made. Most of you are familiar with the tabernacle in the wilderness. Moses received directions from God on the mountain as to how he should build this tabernacle. Now, this tabernacle is where God met men and where men met God. There were two sections of the tabernacle. The outer, there was the holy place, and the Holy of Holies, separated by the veil. And in the Holy of Holies was the mercy seat and the ark. And there the Shekinah glory of God was on the mercy seat between the cherubims. And there God met men, and men met God. It was a tabernacle. That's where the atonement was offered. That's where the sacrifices were made. That's where the mercy seat remained, and that's where the glory of God was revealed, in that tabernacle. Now, secondly, there was always a high priest. Now, there were many priests. They went about the sacrifices 365 days a year, 7 days a week, morning sacrifice, noon sacrifice, evening sacrifice. There were many priests. But there was just one great high priest, one great high priest. And this high priest, this great high priest, wore the robe. He wore the mitre, holiness to the Lord. He wore the breastplate, upon which was engraved the names of the children of Israel. And this great high priest was ordained by God from among men. No man took this office on himself, but the one whom God chose. And this great high priest was the only one who was allowed to come once a year, no more, once a year, under the veil, into the Holy of Holies, before the ark, before the mercy seat, and there sprinkled the blood on behalf of the people whose names he wore on his breastplate. That was called the atonement. And the high priest offered it. Now, are you with me? Now, understand what I'm saying. You just must understand this. God has never saved people but one way, and that's by his Son, Jesus Christ. And these people in the Old Testament, they had Christ in promise, Christ in prophecy, Christ in pattern. And these things that I'm talking about were the patterns and the types. Now, I said there were three things necessary to coming before God, three things necessary for an atonement for sin. The tabernacle, where God met men and men met God. The high priest, who was the mediator, who represented men to God and who represented God to men. But he came into that Holy of Holies once a year with a blood sacrifice. With a blood sacrifice. Not without blood. It distinctly says that. Into the Holy of Holies, into the holy place, went the high priest alone. Remember that. Once a year. There to offer atonement for the sins of the people and for his own sin. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Now, all of these things were patterns. They were pictures of things in the heavens to be fulfilled when Christ came. Now, here's the fulfillment of these things. Now, will you listen carefully? Here's the fulfillment. In the fullness of time, Christ came. God gave his Son. And Christ Jesus, the Son of God, came into the world and he tabernacled among us. That's what it says in John 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That word is tabernacle. He tabernacled among us. God was in Christ. It is in Christ that God meets men and men meet God. You see that? He's our tabernacle. He tabernacled among us. He's the fulfillment of that Old Testament tabernacle, Christ Jesus the Lord. The presence of God dwelt in that tabernacle, the Shekinah glory of God over the mercy seat. God has set forth his Son to be a mercy seat, a propitiation. And God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Christ is where God meets men and men meet God. He's our tabernacle. Now, what about our priest? He's our great high priest. Hebrews 9:11 says this, listen, but Christ being come, a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, that is, not one made with hands, but a body hast thou prepared me. Christ is our high priest. Hebrews 4:14 says this, seeing then that we have a great high priest who is passed into the heavens, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, let's go back just a moment. You know, one of the ways to teach is repetition. And I don't want to keep repeating, but remember back in the Old Testament, there was a tabernacle. There God met men and men met God. His glory dwelt upon the mercy seat. There was a great high priest, only one, who came once a year into the Holy of Holies before the mercy seat to sprinkle the blood, representing the people. And there was a blood atonement. There was a blood sacrifice, real blood. He sprinkled the book. He sprinkled the tabernacle. He sprinkled the people. He sprinkled the mercy seat. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Now, all of that's a picture. And these people who did these things faithfully looked to Christ who would tabernacle among us and be our great high priest. Now, watch this. What about the blood sacrifice? By his own blood, Hebrews 9 says, by his own blood, he entered in once, not into the temple in Jerusalem, not into the tabernacle in the wilderness, into heaven itself. You see that? By his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, into heaven itself, having obtained eternal redemption for us. There you have it. That's the way we come to God. Men have always, Abel came to God by the blood. Abraham came to God by the blood. Aaron came to God by the blood. And you'll come to God the same way. We have a tabernacle, it's Christ. We have a great high priest, it's Christ. Seeing we have a great high priest, let us come boldly before the throne of grace. And we have a blood atonement. And right here in two verses, the fulfillment of all the Old Testament pattern of redemption is right here in these two verses. The tabernacle, the priest, and the sacrifice, right here in Hebrews 9, 11, and 12. You ought to mark that in your Bible. You write it down, go back and read it again. Here's the whole story. But Christ being come, a high priest. Remember I said we've got to have a high priest. Of good things to come, the promises of God, the prophecies of God. By a greater and more perfect tabernacle. Remember I said there must be a tabernacle? Not made with hands, not one that Moses designed and the children of Israel erected, but by his own body. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered once. There are not many sacrifices, just one. There are not many atonements now. There's just one. There were many in the Old Testament because they could never put away sin. And there was a remembrance of sin made every year because the sacrifice was made over and over and over again. But Christ, by one sacrifice, has perfected forever them that are sanctified. By his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Hebrews 9, 24, listen. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands. That's the earthly tabernacle, which is a picture of the true. Isn't that what I've been saying? Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which is a picture of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Now then, when our great high priest, Jesus Christ, who was made in the likeness of sinful flesh, who took upon himself the form of a servant, who was obedient unto death, yea, even the death of the cross, when he died on that cross, in that body which God the Father prepared, when our great high priest tabernacled among us and shed his blood, the blood from that body which God prepared, he fulfilled every promise all the way back to Adam, seed of woman. He fulfilled every type, the Passover, the rock, the manna, the Sabbath, the priesthood. He fulfilled every type and every pattern and every picture. When he died, he satisfied every law. When he died, he honored God's justice. When he died, he fulfilled every requirement. He paid for every sin of every believer. He honored God's justice, and he could triumphantly say, what did he say when he died? It is finished. It is finished. All Old Testament prophecies, pictures, patterns, types, sacrifices, ceremonies, feast days, Sabbath days, the priesthood, it is finished. Every requirement God made upon us, every law God gave us, it is finished. Redemption is finished. It is done. No more Passover. No more high priesthood. No more uniforms and robes. No more sacrifices. No more. No more burning of incenses. No more Sabbath days. It is finished. It is finished. He taketh away the first types and pictures and patterns, and establishes the second. 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also hath once, not many times, once, suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Who does it? He does. When he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Do you know how significant it is when the Bible says Christ sat down? If you study the Old Testament tabernacle in the temple, there were no chairs, no seats, no benches. Those priests never sat down when they were going about their duties and responsibilities. You know why they never sat down? Their work was never done. If they were in that tabernacle at any time or in that courtyard rendering the service of God and the atonement, they never sat down because their atonements and their sacrifices were never effectual. Christ, after he had accomplished our redemption by one sacrifice, sat down at the right hand of God. He entered into his rest, having finished what the Father gave him to do. Nothing can be added, nothing need be added, because God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Do you see that picture? That's what the Old Testament says, someone is coming. The New says he has come. He's fulfilled all things. Now I want to take briefly seven scriptures and show you what Christ accomplished when he died, why he died on that cross, and what he accomplished. Now, if you don't want to turn rapidly to these scriptures, because I don't have very much longer, if you don't want to, then write them down and study them later, or else write for the tape, and our tape director will send it to you, and you can listen to it again and study it more fully. Now, here's the first scripture. Why did Christ die? Why all this? First of all, Romans 14:9. For to this end, Christ both died and arose. Now that's to this end, for this purpose, to this goal, that he might be Lord, both of the dead and the living. That's why he died, that he might be Lord. By his death, Jesus Christ purchased the whole universe. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the Lord of the church and he is the Lord of the dead. He is the Lord of his people. He is the Lord of the rebels. He's the Lord of the dead. He's the Lord of the living. God turned all things over to him. Jesus Christ bought the world. To this end, Christ died and arose and revived that he might be Lord, both of the dead and the living. In John 17:2, he says, thou hast given me authority over all flesh. In Matthew 28:18, he said, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Philippians 2:9-11 talks about his death. Wherefore God hath exalted him, highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. He is the sovereign Lord of heaven and earth and of all creatures by decree, by design, and by death. And all judgment is committed to the Son. And the question is not, will you let Jesus be your Lord? That's not the issue. He is your Lord. He is your Lord. God made him your Lord. And he was made your Lord when he died. He bought you. He bought every creature. He bought the world. He bought the universe. He bought all things. And the Father hath given all things into the hands of the Son in his death. Secondly, Galatians 4:4-5. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. Why did he die? He died to redeem his people. You see, by man came death, by man came life. In Adam we died, in Christ we're made alive. God made one man, Adam. And all mankind was represented in that one man, in him and by him. When he sinned, death, judgment, condemnation came upon all men by representation in Adam. Jesus Christ became a man, born of a woman, made under the law. And he obeyed the law and died under the curse of the law, thereby redeeming all whom he represented. As we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall bear the image of the heavenly. By man came death, by man came life, and he died that he might redeem his people. Thirdly, Galatians 1:4. Listen, Christ gave himself for us, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God our Father, that he might deliver us. My friends, there are two kingdoms. There's a kingdom of this world. There's a kingdom of God's dear Son. The kingdom of this world is under the wrath and judgment of God, like the world in the day of Noah, like Sodom in the days of Lot. It'll be destroyed. The kingdom of God is eternal. And Jesus Christ came to deliver us from this present evil world and translate us into his kingdom, called the kingdom of God's dear Son. That's why he died. All right, fourthly, 1 Peter 3:18, listen. Christ died, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. You know, when one considers how holy God is, have you ever actually considered how holy God is, how infinitely, immaculately, majestically holy God is? How far removed and above us God is? And when we consider how sinful we are, how wicked, how evil in our thoughts, words, deeds, how evil we are in our imagination, then the question arises, well, who among us can ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who's going to stand in his holy presence? David said, Thou, Lord, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquity, who will stand? There's but one answer, and that's why Christ died. He's that answer. It's not found in the law. It's not found in the church. It's not found in our works. It's found in that person, that one mediator, Jesus Christ, who died for us, who fulfilled all that God requires of us, demands of us, commands of us, that he might what? Bring us to God. Bring us to God. When that old high priest entered the holy place and under the veil and came there into the presence of the Shekinah glory of God with that blood and sprinkled it on that mercy seat, he was bringing those people. And that's a type and picture of Christ, who with his own blood entered into the holiest of all, into heaven itself, and brought us to God. Brought us to God. He's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Romans 3:25. God has set forth his Son to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare God's righteousness, that God may be both just and justifier of those who believe in Christ. Did you hear what I read? Jesus Christ died for us. That's right. He did something for us. He put away our sins. He justified us. He redeemed us. He cleansed our sins. He covered our sins. He was a propitiation. But he did something for God. When Christ died, he did something for us. Everything, but he did something for God. In the death of Christ is revealed the holiness of God, the righteousness of God. And when he took our place and died our death and bore our sins, he enabled a holy God to be just and justify you and me. You see, the law's got to be fulfilled, and we can't fulfill it. Justice says the soul that sinneth it must die. And how are we going to die? We'd have to go to hell to die. We'd have to be separated from God. So Jesus Christ literally actually came here, the just one, for all the unjust, to bring us to God. Well, God can't accept us like we are. No, but he covered us in his righteousness and washed us in his blood and paid for our sins. And when he takes us to God in himself, we don't have any sins. In Christ, there is no sin. You see that? That's why he died. And then in the next place, he Titus 2:14. He gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify under himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. He died, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:15, that we should not henceforth live to ourselves, but unto him who died for us. The Lord Jesus, in his death, not only put away our sins and justified us before God, but he, by his Spirit, made us a new creature. He gave us a new heart. We not only have a perfect standing before God in Christ, but we have a new nature. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And God's people are a holy people, an honest people, a loving people. They delight in the commandments of their God, and they live for his glory, and they manifest through their lives the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, meekness, kindness, gentleness, moderation. They manifest these things. They're new creatures. He did something for us. All right, in the last place, Ephesians 2:7. Christ died and redeemed us that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. God's going to show us off someday as trophies of his grace and goodness. Now, if you want this tape to study or to give to someone else to listen to again, it's Why Christ Died. Write for it. Send $2. This message will be on one side and another one on the other side. Until next week, may God bless you.